Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone. Wherever you're watching this, a Merry Christmas to you. You might be in one of our locations in the flesh, and it's great to have you part of the service. Or maybe you're watching this online, or perhaps later after Christmas, you found this and you're now watching it. Well, whoever you are, wherever you are in the world, Merry Christmas to you. It is just so good that we can gather in any way, even like this. And it's such a special time of the year. It's a family time. It's a time where we remember and we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even for those of you where this time of the year, maybe it reminds us for various reasons of people that are no longer with us, I just pray that the grace of Jesus and even those that we have with us will really be your comfort in this season and on this day. Throughout the Bible, starting all the way back in Genesis, we are reading the prophecies where it's prophesied that Jesus would be born, that our Savior would come down and bring salvation to all mankind, that He would enter this world. You see, Jesus, He would become what we were so that we could become what He is. This is really, if you will, the origin story of our hero. The Gospel of John chapter 14, it says that the Word was made flesh and moved into the neighborhood. He came down. And we've got to remember, no other religion has this story. No other religion has this kind of story arc in their telling. That God would come down. That God came down into our world. That God came down into our mess. That God Himself came down into our story and into the state of our being. You see, God, we understand and we know that He exists outside of our space and time continuum. He is the author of life. He is on the outside, yet with Christmas, the author, He writes Himself into the story. Really, He became the visible image of an invisible God. Often you hear questions like, what is God like? Well, if God is real, how would He talk to people? If God is real, how would He treat people? What is He like? And the answer we have as Christians is that we can say, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Because Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God. When we see Jesus, we see the Father. Jesus said it Himself. If for those of you that want to see the Father, look at me. See me. See how I act. See how I treat people. See how I talk. And that is the Father God speaking. See, not only did Jesus come and live as an example for all of us, not only as an example of what God is like. At Easter, in a few months' time, we will remember and we will celebrate also that Jesus, He grew up, He became a man. And at the age of 33, He laid down His life and He died on the cross and He rose again in our place so that every single one of us, we didn't have to stand accountable for our own sin, but Jesus, He took our place so that now that we have access to life and life to the full, starting right here, right now, today, on this side of eternity, but also for all eternity on the other side. It is faith, it's hope, and it's love restored. There is so much to be joyful about. No wonder the Bible tells us to rejoice. To rejoice. I don't know about you, but I'm always confused when visiting cathedrals and, you know, old churches. And we have some in our country, in our city, here in Copenhagen, Denmark as well. And I walk in, and often in a lot of these cathedrals, there will be a sign as you walk in, just inside the door. And the sign will say, often on a piece of paper that's laminated, you know, and it will say, silence, please. Silence, please. And when I walk in with my children and we go in to look at these beautiful old buildings, my kids will look at me and go, why do we have to be quiet? And I cannot give a reasonable answer. I cannot say why we have to be quiet. Now, I understand that there is a time to be reflective. I understand there's a time to meditate on the Word of God. I understand there's a time just to be silent and solemn before God. But there is surely also a time to be loud, to celebrate, to rejoice, to have a party, to rejoice and be happy and glad that Jesus has come. that there is salvation. This is not a Pentecostal thing. This is not a Frikirche thing. This is not even a Hillsong thing. This is a Christian thing, to rejoice and be glad. This is what we celebrate, that the good news, that Jesus Christ is born. Psalm 98, it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord." Doesn't say be silent. It says shout for joy. "All the earth burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." You see, this is the psalm that we have, the beautiful song that we sing at every Christmas called Joy to the World. But have you ever been to a party where you are celebrating something, that you are gathering for a joyful reason, an occasion, and then suddenly someone has to bring up something that is just a downer? You know, they bring something like just so negative up, and it's like, come on, man, like we were just having a good time. We would call them a party pooper. A party pooper. They are pooping on the party. They are party pooper. It is someone that brings gloom, that throws gloom, throws a shade over an otherwise joyful and social enjoyment. We've had 2 years now living in this pandemic. We've had 2 years of living in this season as a world, as humanity. And in many cases, it has been a party pooper. In many cases, it has and is throwing a gloom over social enjoyment. We've experienced restrictions and limitations on everything from church to birthdays to school to work and weddings and even being able to say farewell to those that we love. And I'm not for one moment suggesting today that we should just ignore the reality of what is going on around us. I'm not for a moment suggesting that we should just ignore that and say, come on, let's just rejoice. The pandemic is real. The virus is real. And it's hurting real people's lives, health, and businesses. And there would be people here today that have suffered on a personal level. And I want to remind all of us that obviously we are all experiencing this season in different ways. But let us always keep a soft heart towards people around us, just like Jesus always has. A soft heart where we have empathy for those around us that are really suffering and are feeling this season. But when it comes to dealing with challenging circumstances, we must remember that as Christians, our joy is not based on a temporary circumstance. But our joy, it is based on an eternal truth that God is good, God is able, and God is in control. Can I say that again? As Christians, our joy is not based on temporary circumstances, but on the eternal truth that God is good, God is able, and God is in control. It can be so easy to be thrown here and there in our faith and our feelings by changing circumstances and by what is going on around us and in us. I'm always reminded when thinking about this issue about the German pastor and author Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who sat in jail in a Nazi prison during the Second World War. And he wrote from that jail and he said, "Sometimes Christ in my brother is stronger than Christ in me." What he meant about that was that sometimes we are so caught up in our own feelings, so caught up in our own situation, our real situation. I'm not talking about make-believe. I'm saying actually it's real. But we can be so caught up in it that we lose track and we lose our focus on who Jesus is. And in those moments, he reminds us we need a brother, we need a sister, we need a fellow believer that we can come to, and he can remind us, she can remind us of who Jesus is, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Remind me God is my healer. Remind me that God is my joy. Remind me that God is able, he is willing, that he is in control, that he is a good God. The Apostle Paul, he sat at one point in a Roman prison. There was no air conditioning, there was no pillows. There were rats, there were pestilence. And from that prison cell, he wrote a letter to the Philippians. And there he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving." Remember, he wrote this from a prison cell. "With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I pray, church, that in this season, when many of us, we will be in different social settings, many of us over the next few hours, days, and weeks, will be at dinner parties, we will sit around dinner tables, we will meet friends and family, some that we only see this time of the year. We will have people come together where we will bring many different opinions, many different experiences, for better and for worse. And I pray that as us, as Christians, you and I, that in those situations, let us not be the ones that add fear to the world. Let us not be the ones who add worry to the world. Let us not be the ones who add bitterness to the world. Let us not be the ones who add doubt to the world. No, let us be the ones who add joy to the world. That we are the ones that when the conversation around the table turns to fear, that we add faith. When it turns to solemnness and sadness, that we can add joy. When it turns to being dark and dreary, that we can bring the light of the world. Listen to the hymn, "Joy to the World." Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. But as always, church, whoever you are, whoever's listening to this, we can only bring what we have received ourselves. We can have a desire to bring joy to the world, but I'm not talking about just being an optimistic person. I'm not talking about being an extrovert. I'm not just talking about being happy-go-lucky kind of person. No, as we said before, our joy is based on knowing the eternal truth that God is good, that God is able, and that God is in control. So how do we carry this kind of joy and peace in a troubled world? Well, the Apostle Paul, he continues in Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 8, he says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy," and this is the key, "think about such things." Think about these things. Maybe this Christmas season, maybe all of us should just either turn off or limit social media. Maybe turn off or limit the news from television. Maybe just turn off or limit the input. If you want to change the output, it starts with changing the input. Changing the input of what we let into our mind, of what we think about, and what we meditate on. This Christmas, you and I as Christians, as believers, this Christmas, we have something we can meditate on that is good news. Jesus has come. that God is good, that God is able, and that God is in control. And this Christmas, I want to offer the greatest present that I can, the greatest gift, and it's the gift of salvation. That if you don't know Jesus like this, maybe you've gone in your whole life and really your joy, your peace, your sense of well-being, it's really been determined by all the external factors, by all the changing circumstances where you're kind of wishing upon a star that everything will line up and you're hoping that next year will be better and you're hoping that maybe tomorrow will turn out good. Can I encourage you? Put your hope in someone who is not subject to changing seasons and circumstances. Jesus is above it all, and he is good, and he is able, and he is in control. And I want to give everyone here an opportunity, whether you're sitting in one of our services or whether you're watching this online, I want to give you an opportunity that if you don't know Jesus like this, that if for you, if Jesus is just like this little baby doll that is down at the supermarket, down in the shopping center, if for you, Jesus is just this annual tradition that we observe every Christmas, can I encourage you to invite him in? Can I encourage you to find the personal faith in Jesus? And I would love to pray with anyone here that you don't know Jesus and you don't have this kind of faith that I'm describing in this message. And so just, can we just close our eyes and take a moment? And if you say, Thomas, I would love to say yes to Jesus. I would love to invite Jesus into my life. Could you pray with me? And if you're sitting in one of our services, we're all going to pray together, but especially those of you who want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, or today, on this Christmas day, in this Christmas season, you want to invite him back in. Come on, just pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin and my mistakes, but today I receive you. I make you the Lord and Savior of my life. And from today, I am a follower of Jesus. I am forgiven and I am free. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, massive congratulations. If you are in our services, man, I hope that everyone's clapping and cheering you. And if you are online, I hope that the comment section is lighting up with clapping emojis and people congratulating you. What an amazing decision that you have made. And if you are online, I would encourage you, reach out to us. You know, contact us, and there will be some details in the underneath this video of how you can contact us. We'd love to send you a Bible this Christmas for you to really walk out this newfound faith that you have in Jesus. And obviously, if you're in one of our services, our team will be able to connect with you. But to every single one of you, Merry Christmas. I pray you stay safe. Pray you stay saved. Pray you have an amazing time with your family and with your friends. And that 2022, we can believe together that the best is yet to come. God bless you.